Tu as vu qu'on a donné un coup d'œil. Nous commençons à prendre une sorte de sport sur une coupe. Tu verras. On est sur toutes les cinq couleurs. Des couleurs sur une coupe hors de l'air de l'autre. Jusqu'à la porte de coupe. Une sorte du mat. Ces émissions vous parviennent de mon studio de Montréal, au Québec. Et nous connaissons des couleurs sur une coupe. C'est tout correspondant à Radio-Canada Montréal, 4-6-6-6-6-6, Montréal-Québec, H3-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6
Good morning, I'm Martina Fitzgerald. This is World Report, in the news today. Prime Minister Stephen Harper is in Singapore for the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Summit. Normally, APEC tends to focus on trade issues. But next month's UN meeting on climate change is pushing its way to the top of the agenda. Professor Tim Flannery is on the Copenhagen Climate Council. He says Canada has not lived up to its Kyoto commitment and had better get its environmental act together.
Canada's in a difficult position because nothing has been done for so very long. That's a shared responsibility between governments. Simply can't go on like that. Otherwise, Canada will end up spending its reputation rather than some funds and dealing with the problem. That is far more damaging in the longer term.
Environment Minister Jim Clampus is warning against unrealistic expectations of Canada's role. He was speaking in Edmonton earlier this week.
Instead, our government and the United States government will be aiming for a still ambitious, but we believe more responsible goal to reduce greenhouse gas emissions as fast as possible without killing the economy and without resulting in a situation where the cure is worse than the disease.
In Singapore, Stephen Harper says that China, Indonesia, and other emerging economies need to be part of any meaningful climate change agreement. Back in this country, Canada's prisons are now home to an increasing number of Aboriginal offenders, especially young ones. According to the latest report by Canada's Ombudsman for Prisons, they stay behind bars longer, fewer go out on parole, more end up in segregation, and there are insufficient rehab programs for them. Maureen Brosnan has the details.
The latest report says for years the Correctional Service has talked a good line when it comes to programs for Aboriginal offenders, but it has failed to deliver. Kathleen McKinney is chair of the Women's Council with the Assembly of First Nations. She says these problems have been known for decades, but there's been little action.
What I feel would work is having the infrastructure conversation and then filling it out. There doesn't need to be any inconsistency in the current statistics regarding Aboriginal people in the correctional system.
Peter Dinsdale is executive director of the National Association of Friendship Centers. He believes there is inherent discrimination in the system.
I think we need to look at some of the more systemic issues about being released later in their sentences and overrepresentation in segregation populations. I think these are the kinds of things which maybe point to the kind of racism in how some of the policies are being applied.
By law, the Correctional Service is required to provide cultural rehab and reintegration programs for Aboriginal offenders. There are efforts to bring in elders and community members to help, but right now these initiatives are spotty and scattered across the country. Maureen Brosnan, CBC News, Toronto.
As the federal government continues to pour billions of dollars into infrastructure programs all over the country, it seems it wants all the credit. Virtually all of the projects include money from provincial and local governments. But signs that mark the map only mention Ottawa as being responsible. Paul Ritter for France.
In the past, infrastructure signs typically credited all three levels of government to jointly funded projects. But this summer, Ottawa changed the rules. The new signs only credit the federal government. Nova Scotia Conservative MP Gerald Keddy explained.
Any Canadian or any constituent who sees the economic action plan sign automatically understand that all three levels of government are involved.
The new signs have been coming across Canada since late summer. The provinces and municipalities share the project cost, if not the credit. Under the new arrangement, if they want recognition, they can get their own sign. Nova Scotia Premier Jared Walker says Ottawa requested to change during infrastructure negotiation.
I can say that it was a bit of a surprise to me. I've never had any problem sharing the credit.
Nova Scotia's Facebook community is struggling by a $650,000 waste water project funded. Jim Embry does not care who gets the credit or the fact the county pays for part of the sign.
$40 is our share. We've got bigger issues and obviously bigger interest in making sure that the project goes through.
It seems trivial, but one of the conditions for Ottawa's money. Photographic proof the signs are up and prominently displayed.
Manitoba is also taking flack over the handing out of free water bottles. Manitoba MP Shelley Glover offered the bottles to schools, but they were labeled with her name and the Conservative Party logo. The school division turned her down, saying it doesn't give anything to students carrying a political message. The Glover said the gesture was appropriate.
And understand the issues of the day. I think it's important that we are honest with our kids. And I am proud to be a Conservative member of Parliament who is looking to do the right thing to encourage kids to learn both official languages. And I'm going to continue to do it.
Glover wanted to give the ball to students who were studying French. Now to Venice. It's a beautiful city like no other on earth. And now it's emptying out at an alarming rate. For decades, people have been moving. There are hardly any people. Today, the funeral was held for Venice itself, and Sabina Castelfranco is there.
With a population now below 60,000, residents are being forced out of the historic center as they search for cheaper housing and easier living conditions on the mainland. Real Venetians have become scared, and many say the city is fast becoming nothing but a tourist destination. A group of Venetian residents concerned about this is marking the city's population decline with a much funeral procession.
You want to find the new habitants of Venice? Venice is going to be a Disneyland in a few years. To be visited, but also livable.
The demographic decline has also led to a new initiative. Starting today and for the next few weeks, DNA samples are being collected of Venetian males. The aim is to create a databank of the real Venetian, who risk fast becoming extinct. Sabina Castelfranco, CBC News, Venice.
The sprinters you see in the Olympics have always been known as the fastest people on Earth. Being able to run 100 meters in under 10 seconds takes something. It's not just about speed and muscles. As Greg Rasmussen reports, it also takes an anatomical anomaly.
Sabrina Lee watches a runner on a treadmill at a research lab at Simon Fraser University in Columbia. U.S. colleague had published research showing how sprinters have two key anatomical differences compared to most of the population. One, they have longer toes. He says this gives them an advantage during a critical phase of sprinting, launching quickly from a flying start.
We've shown many during the acceleration phase,
another thing she discovered gives you the meaning to the phrase fleet of foot. She says people built for a quick getaway have unusual angles. Dina's colleagues found sprinters have a more compact structure that gives them more power.
If you look at it, it's the distance between if you're ascending and something else.
She says the 25% difference was such a surprise, she at first thought there was a problem with the instrument to make the measurement. She says a practical application might be a new running shoe designed for quick start. In the meantime, she admits she's now looking at a lot of feet to suss out the speedy
run. I do. I look at how people walk, how people run, and all the good
stuff.
You can't help it.
Greg Rasmussen, CBC News, Burnaby.
Olympic organizers have crossed their fingers. Another attempt will be made today to show off for the Vancouver Games. It was supposed to happen last weekend, but there were technical problems. The tickets are available starting at 1 Eastern this afternoon at Vancouver2010.com. And there will not be athletes in the conventional sense, but those competing in the Rock, Paper, Scissors World Championship this weekend have glory in their sights. They're arriving in Toronto from as far away as Australia, Brazil, and Norway. Looking to determine the current world champ, Monica Martinez, who's going to the top. The head referee of the event, Brad Fox, says there are several strategies to winning, including controlling the speed of play and learning overall French. For instance, it might be helpful to know that men can throw rocks more often while women throw scissors. And that is the latest national and international news. You can also look for the World Report on Sirius Satellite Radio 187. For the World Report, I'm Martina Fitzgerald. This is CBC News.
On the weekend on CBC Radio 188.5 in Montreal. And coming up, the big story on CBC Radio 188.5 in Montreal.
CBC Radio. In politics, we have to look for the future. We don't have to look day by day, hour by hour. We have to look for the future. And the future is good for us.
Is it really good for the ADQ? That is someone who wants to be recognizing who it is. It's ADQ MMA Gerard Deltel. Now John Fingler, the leader of the party.
The big story.
All in the weekend, whither the ADQ? Nice morning, but we're going to have lots and lots of rain in the Montreal area. Starting later on this afternoon, 20 to 25 millimeters for Montreal, 20 to 30 for Quebec City and the township. Right now, morning sunny at Trudeau International in 1, minus 2 at St. Hubert, minus 3 in the township right now, sunny, 1 at Trois-Rivières, mostly cloudy in Quebec City in minus 1, 3 and cloudy at Val d'Or, moving in 5 degrees, partly cloudy there, St. Endelmeux, partly cloudy in 4, mostly cloudy at Bagotville in 0, 3 at Rivière-du-Loup and, they're not coming with yesterday. They're being coy. At Pointe au Père and Rimouski, where they're being coy as well, it's 2 degrees, it's sunny at 9, cloudy in 4. Sunny minus 1 at St. Como, partly cloudy at Sept Îles, minus 2, partly cloudy and minus 3 at Gaspé, 5 and sunny on Maggie, 3 degrees, light rain and 2 degrees. Right now it's Fujiwa. In town, mostly sunny and warm. Coming up, the big show. Week for Nation Democratique, almost half of the ADQ caucus left the party. Its president resigned, and then on Tuesday, the newly elected leader announced he no longer wanted the job. This is a big change for the ADQ. This time last year, they were the official opposition in the United States. Today, the party finds itself leaderless, and embroiled in the controversy. The ADQ implosion. A big story this week. Sean Lyons, as usual, is in our Quebec City studio. Good morning, Sean.
Morning, Dave. So how did they end up in this event?
Well, part of it was less than a month ago, when Jill Tyrone took to the stage as the new leader of the ADQ,
victory with a promise to unite the party. That despite winning the leadership race over Etis Cav at the time by 2 votes.
I win by a low margin, but I win. I'm the winner. And I want to work with Mr. Cav, and I will show you that I'm able to do a good job.
Less than a month ago, a month tomorrow, as a matter of fact. The election was supposed to have been the start of serious revolution. It had a terrible year. You remember the ABC was decimated in the last year's elections, reduced to only 6 MNAs in the National Assembly. Things, though, were looking up. The party was able to convince both the PC and Liberals to allow them official party status at the National Assembly. And the leadership race was supposed to fix everything. Instead, it went the other way and seemed to have divided the party. Just over a week ago, 2 of the MLAs, Eric Starr, who we just mentioned, and Max Picard, left the caucus, saying that the party had changed and no longer represented their views. And then, 3 weeks, and after that victory speech, they all decided to have enough. So there he wants the party to prepare a leadership race, because he was tired of the infighting and asked the party to prepare to choose someone else at the helm.
Well, how can they? This is not in their growth, isn't it?
That's a big deadline.
Yeah.
A lot of discussion over whether there's going to be a race or not.
I mean, the comment almost sounds cryptic, doesn't it?
A bit cryptic, and what else? The other thing that he said that was a bit cryptic, without everybody talking, especially at the National Assembly this week, was during that same speech when he said that he'd asked for an investigation, mm-hmm. and police to look into what he called irregularities in the party's finance, in the party book, that he discovered from taking over as leader. Irregularities, he says, went all the way back several years, in fact, under the previous administration. Not the only thing that Payon had to say this week. I tell you, he made a very short statement there at the National Assembly announcing he was stepping down. But then he just didn't be quiet. He even put out an open letter later in the week where he accused party members and officials, including former leader Mario Gino, of plotting to oust him just after he was elected. Says it was all because of his plan to distance the ADQ from all federal parties, including and especially the Federal Conservative Party. Payon called that link to the Tories the untouchable alliance that people were not going to allow him to mess with. The claim was dismissed by many and even forced Payon's right-hand man, Francois, one of his supporters, to distance himself from the soon-to-be former leader.
Where is this party? Where do they go?
Well, party insiders say no. Immediately, all eyes after that announcement turned to former TV journalist turned ABC MNA Gerard Deltel. Now, some insiders and other pundits have been saying that this time around they wanted a coronation for the top of the party, not a race. Deltel remained cagey all week about this, never commenting on it, never confirming it meaning anything, but Some insiders say that the party should avoid a leadership race, as you mentioned before.
They want to be given the job. That needs to be the message in there if I read between the lines.
Yeah, listen between the lines there, and you're going to hear he says very much without saying anything at all. And said it, by the way, repeatedly all week. That's the numerous examples. Now, said, a lot of people want to avoid a leadership race. One screaming from a leadership race. They include former MNA, Canada kind of commentator Marie Gregoire, who you may have heard of over the years. She says the party should learn a lesson that it failed to learn after Mario Gino stepped down.
I think the party now has been really shook up and needs to take time off, feel like need, and make sure that the members gather up together, think about the future. And I don't know if you remember, but at the meeting where the members decided about the rules of the last convention, Sébastien Poutsev, the party was like, let us take a little bit of time catch her breath after the distance that was difficult. And I decided to rebuild the party.
And Gregoire says perhaps if they'd learned that lesson then, wouldn't be in the shape they are right now. However,
that is Marie Gregoire.
Marie Gregoire,
a former Red commentator that used to be on
the MMA. Okay, quite a popular MMA for the ADQ. Gregoire, by the way, also dismissing claims that the ADQ is dead after what happened this week. He turned, and it's an interesting example to the Conservative Party here in Quebec, written off by many in recent polls. However, the Conservatives did come back to win the Moment du Lay Canada in a by-election that took place last week out of eastern Quebec, swiping that seat away from the Bloc Québécois that has held it for the last decade and a half.
But you wonder then if the ADQ does have to ties with Conservatives for organizational matters, or something that Tayal said he didn't want, right?
He says he didn't want it, and he says that's what led to him, well, you know, no longer being there anymore.
Thanks a lot, Sean. Thank you, Dave. ABC News editor Sean Young with our big story. All the news. Yeah, decorations everywhere, huh?
Already? But
you do have to prepare. And that's why, as a service to you all, here on All in the Weekend, thanks again for Moen Dave Christmas.
Hi, David Taker.
Hello.
Hi,
I'm excellent. How are you?
Good.
You know what's on my wish list?
Uh-oh.
I would like
a knitted
television.
Warmer.
Many colors,
uh-huh.
You know, like every color that a little old knitter can get onto the palette. And,
what is the purpose of a television warmer?
I don't know. I just want to see all that wool on my television set.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you have anything to do with the hobs? Trying to blanket them and warm?
Did you see the barber pole? It was up off the barber pole.
Yes, I saw.
They're
awesome. Been trying to
I don't know why they. Now the ones they had the other night. But you know, we're way off topic.
A little.
So why don't we head off to church now or whatever and find out what is on Moe's and Dave's Christmas list.
Well, you know what? We're in high gear now, eh? We're getting closer. I know a lot of people have small hoping that the holidays are a long way, the ways off. And a lot of people don't like to hear the music until December 1st, but the fact of the matter
that's
is...
why we're playing.
Indeed, yes. And that, again, for the record, was Dave's decision. We have to tell you about the sales going on, because I know that you want to get out to these, and often December comes and you've missed them, and you thought, well, when did they happen? They happened in November. Same day as anything.
You didn't even hear.
Yeah, I did. I was just going with the moment.
Oh, okay.
I was feeling the music. It was inspiring me. Does that have something to do with music?
No. All the folks at home know who the hell is the music. Don't worry about it.
Okay, moving on. St. George's Anglican Church in Georgetown, they're having their sale. Not this weekend, not today, but next weekend.
Okay. Well, good to know.
Well, you've got to get ready, right?
Is it Saturday and Sunday?
It's Saturday and Sunday. Oh, no, this one's only Saturday. Don't get any mistakes. This one's only Saturday. Okay. They want you to bring your shopping bags along.
Good idea.
Bring your reusable shopping bags along to St. George's Anglican Church, where they promise to have baking Christmas items. This is an interesting table to have at a Christmas sale. The men's table. I'm not sure what's on the men's table.
And I don't want to guess.
Please don't.
I'm a man.
But you know what? They have knitting, Dave. They might have your TV warmer.
Okay.
So you could maybe check that out.
A bunch of mittens and just put them together. Okay.
Yeah,
so that's a beautiful George Dover.
Okay. And we also have, this one's actually happening tomorrow. This is the 11th annual Christmas Bazaar at the Valcastle Community Center.
Okay. This is not part of the base, right? This is the tent.
It's the tent, exactly. And this is Sunday, the 15th, so that's tomorrow, right?
Mm-hmm.
It starts at 10 a.m. That'll be on till 3 p.m. And this is one of those lovely sales that brings together not only the baked goods, but the crafts, the napkins, the little thing, the white elephant table, the bits and bobs, and...
What is a white elephant table?
Seriously?
Yeah.
The white elephant table is where, anything that doesn't fit into your usual craft category ends up on the white elephant table. So the fun part about it is that you don't know what to expect from the white elephant table. And that might be the same story with the men's table that's going to be at St. George's Anglican Church. But this one's in Valcartier. We have another one coming up in Magog. This one actually isn't until the 28th of November. As we're starting to get busier, I want people marking this up on my calendar. So the 28th of November, between 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. in the box, this is where you're going to come across for all kinds of goodies. And in fact, the reason I want to talk about this one is because it's not too late to rent a table. So if you are a crafter and you live in the Magog area, then you might want to get in touch with these folks.
2 weeks, 2 weeks today or 2 weeks tomorrow?
Yeah, it's 2 weeks today.
2 weeks today.
Okay, so we'll have all that information up on our website after the show.
That's right. cbc.ca/allintheweekend and send us by email, right?
No.
And please, the Winnipeg show has been getting our emails because there's a very close to ours. Yeah, it's weekend@montreal.cbc.ca. The Winnipeg show is weekend@cbc.ca. weekend@montreal.cbc.ca. We'll see you next time.
Yes, sir.
Money. And
We are going to head out to the next half hour of the program. And we've got your deli talk back. We're going to talk about deli. And we'll announce the winners of several books from last week, including Save the Deli, Ted Barris's book about the young soldiers coming back home, and the wonderful book, the coffee table book by Seth, that's the companion of Doug Lake. I'm Dave Bronstetter. Lawrence got the news on the half hour. This is All in a Weekend, this Saturday morning, November 14th.